If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But ye see me, because I live. Ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments, and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us, and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him, and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not, keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If ye loved me, ye would rejoice, because I said, I go unto the Father. For my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you, before it come to pass, that when it is come to pass, ye might believe. Hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh, and hath nothing in me. But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Arise, let us go hence.
Welcome again to Let the Bible Speak. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher. And again, we're coming to John's Gospel, to chapter 14, where the Lord Jesus manifests himself to us. For many, many years, this text has been a favorite of mine. If a man keep my commandments, my Father will love him, and we will come unto him, and make our abode with him. And so there is communion and fellowship for the born-again believer in walking with the Lord in the light of his word. And when we seek to do the Father's will, there is many, many blessings to be had. And so I trust that you will stay tuned as we come to our message today, John chapter 14.
Now, a third thing that I find here, that it is a promise to stir our souls to deeper, sweeter communion and fellowship with the Lord. And I'm going to go back here to verse 21. And it says, "He that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him." And then verse 23, "If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him, and make our abode with him." And I've prayed over, and I have dwelt and meditated upon this. What is this coming unto us? It's not just the Lord coming in his return at the end of the world. It is the experience of the Christian in prayer, in worship, in our daily lives. The Lord comes in and he makes himself wonderfully real to our souls. My Father will love him, and we will come unto him. And there's the unity between the Father and the Son, and they together come unto us. Now this has to mean something. It has to be some experience in the life of the Christian. And I think of that great text in Revelation 3:20. "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man open the door, I will come into him and sup with him." Now again, how do you explain that? How do you tell of that experience? But it does have to mean something. Now, a normal term, when someone visits and they sup or they dine with us, there is the enjoyment of sweet fellowship. And the Lord promises to come into our lives and wonderfully minister, befriend, and pour in his love into our hearts. And there's another example of this in the bride in Song of Solomon. And the groom was outside the door. He was at the very handle of the door. He was drawing near. And the heart of the bride was stirred. Her heart was ravished by the love of her suitor. Now again, Samuel Rutherford and other Puritans, they talked in these terms. They ministered and wrote using these terms of the ravishing of our hearts. And they would have spoken rightly that this equates with the love of husband and wife. In Ephesians 5, you have that analogy that husbands are to love their wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. And as we preach marriage sermons, we draw that proper line of connection between the love that God puts into the hearts of husband and wife, that it lines up with that love that the Lord has for his church to the degree that he gave himself for it. Now, husbands, we've never loved our wives as Christ loved the church, but it shows you that there is this enjoyment of the wonderful love of the Lord Jesus within our hearts. Now in Ephesians 3, you have the prayer of the Apostle Paul that Christians would experience the love of God, which is so high, so wide, so deep, and so wonderful. And I pray that you will enjoy and rest in that experience of the Savior's love within our souls. Now, as we move on to verse 22 in John 14, you will see that this experience, this promise of the Savior manifesting himself, it's peculiar to the Christian as opposed to the worldling. And that was Judas' question. Judas was asking, "How come, Lord, that you manifest yourself to us, but not to the world?" And the Lord Jesus also said, "My sheep hear my voice and follow me." That's not of everyone in the world. The Lord speaks, ministers, and reveals himself to his people. And of course, this is the separation between the saved and the lost, between those who have had their eyes opened and those who are still blinded by their sin. It's the difference between the converted and the ungodly soul that we know and do continually on an ongoing basis enjoy the deep, deep love of Jesus within our souls. Now we're reminded of this, that you're not going to find this love in the world. You will not find this experience of Jesus' love in the pubs, the clubs, the dens of iniquity, the sinful places of this world, nor by filling your minds with those things that are fleshly and carnal. But this deep, deep love of Jesus is something peculiar, separate from the world, and given by the Lord to his own people in a wonderful, wonderful way. And so do not be surprised if the ungodly, the worldling, ridicules your expression and testimony of knowing the love of the Lord. They will not understand it. The wicked, worldly man, woman, young person who mock these things, they have no clue. They have never felt, they've never experienced the deep, deep love of Jesus in their hearts as believers do. And so we have to accept that they are outside of that experience. They cannot grasp without the miracle of salvation that the Lord is so precious and so blessed to our souls. And the most clear testimony that you can make to any unsaved person is, I love my Lord Jesus. I remember rebuking someone for taking the Lord's name in vain, and I said, do you know that you're using my Savior's name, whom I love? That's my Lord you're speaking of. And that is a very powerful testimony to the unconverted, and they need to hear that. But don't expect them to comprehend it until they also are brought into the Lord Jesus. Now, something else I see here in verse 23, and it is that this promise is peculiar to the obedient Christian. It says, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. And so it's not just simply tritely saying, oh, I love Jesus. No, it is the one who obeys the Lord Jesus, the one who keeps his words. And back in verse 21, it's even stronger. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them. So we're not just hearers of his word, but we are doers of his word. And that's a big line of demarcation. In Matthew 7, there were those who came and said, Lord, Lord. And Jesus said, it's not they that say, Lord, Lord, but they that keep my word and do my word. And so this is peculiar to the obedient Christian. I wonder, are you a doer of the Lord's will? That's the mark of a Christian. We delight in his law day and night. It becomes the very delight of our souls. Could this be the reason for so much shallow experiences in professing Christians? There are those who say they are the Lord's, they say they have made a profession of faith, but they really don't live in the enjoyment and the blessedness of this experience. Can you expect that those who love the world, who seek after the world and clamor for all the glitter and glamour of this world, that they will experience what the Lord Jesus gives? No, here's the heart of the issue. And this is the reason for so much of the shallowness of Christianity, because there are so many who give mere lip service that they say they love Jesus, but in reality they don't heed his word, they don't obey his commandments, they live like the world, and they are so close to the world, and indeed so much in love with the world, that they do not enjoy, certainly to the full, the wonderful, wonderful love of the Lord Jesus. Now, if you go back to verse 15 for a moment, and you will see two things that are linked together. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter. Who is it that is to whom is given the Holy Spirit? To those that keep the Lord's commandments. Because the Holy Spirit is given to them that obey him. That's the principle of Christian living. That's an absolute. You can't enjoy the sweet ministry of the Spirit of God if you are not walking in the commandments of the Lord. Let me give you a little quote by J.C. Ryle, who said, "Few believers attend as strictly as they should to Christ's practical sayings and words. There is far too much loose and careless obedience to Christ's commandments. There is far too much forgetfulness that while good works cannot justify us, they are not to be despised. The commandments of the Lord are the rule of life for the Christian, and to them the Lord manifests himself in a wonderful way." Yes, we need a walk with God. We need to be like Noah and Enoch, who walked with God, that we might have wonderful communion with the Lord. We cannot have more communion with the Lord without continuing in his word. Now, that means honesty in our lives. It means humility. It means self-denial. It means patience, love to those that we live with, work with, displaying the grace of the Savior and obeying his commands before men, as well as in our hearts unto the Lord. And so we will only be as happy or enjoy the Lord as we are holy. There is a blessing in holy living. And holiness is defined here by keeping the Lord's commandments, honoring his word, seeking to read the Bible. What way does God want me to live? How does he want me to talk and walk? How does he want me to decide in this situation? What is the will of God for me? And as we live looking to the Lord to do his will, we will know this experience of this manifesting, this reality of the Lord in our souls. He will come into us. He will dwell within our hearts. Now, another thing in verse 23, it is a special presence of the Lord. And for time, I'll leave that with you. How special it is, how precious it is. It is so very wonderful. But let me also note with you in verse 23 that it is an abiding presence. It says in that verse 23, "and make our abode with him." Now the word abode there means residence. He will come and dwell, reside with us. And a Christian can enjoy this day in and day out. This is not some flashy sensationalism, nor is it merely a flash of emotionalism, something that just gets us excited for a few moments or an hour or a day, and then it's all gone. No, this is real, ongoing Christian living, growing in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus. It is a deep, lasting experience of the Lord in our souls that we may, by his grace, enjoy all our days on earth. And that's what we desperately need. And that's what I pray for you today, that you will have the Father and the Son abiding, taking up residence, living within your hearts. And Christians have known this abiding presence of the Lord all through history. And we can tell that because of the hymns that we sing. Now, in our hymnal, Hymns of Grace and Glory, we have hymns that are written for hundreds of years by Christians down through the ages. And these are hymns that express what I've been preaching, what we've been learning here in John 14. Hymns like, "Oh, for a Closer Walk with God." That's 472 in our hymnal. And that hymn will show you that it is a longing for the Holy Spirit to return, and that we hate the sins that made thee mourn and drove thee from our breast. O Spirit of God, return. And that's the cry of the Christian. Or the hymn number 84, "Jesus, the very thought of thee with sweetness fills my breast, but sweeter far thy face to see and in thy presence rest. Nor voice can sing, nor heart can frame, nor can the memory find a sweeter sound than thy blessed name, O Savior of mankind. O hope of every contrite heart, O joy of all the meek, to those who fall, how kind thou art, how good to those who seek. But what to those who find? Ah, this nor tongue nor pen can show, the love of Jesus, what it is, none but his loved ones know." And that's my problem as a preacher. How can I express in words this experience of the love of Jesus, the love of the Father within our hearts? We sing the hymn, "Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so." And we know it by heart and we know it by experience. Another hymn, 465, "Speak to my soul, Lord Jesus. Speak now in tenderest tone. Whisper in loving kindness, thou art not left alone." Now, what does the Lord speak to our hearts? How does he minister to us? Well, if you look down there at verse 26, "The Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, what I have said unto you." So here it is, a ministry of truth by the Holy Spirit. And in verse 27, it's a ministry of peace. "My peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you." Now you think of the sweet peace that there was between the Lord Jesus and the Father. And he gives that peace into our souls. It is wonderful. It is absolutely wonderful. And Jesus gives his peace. It's a gift. We can't work it up. We can't fabricate it. We can't make it out of our own decisions and desires. It's something the Lord breathes into our souls, and we wait upon him for it. We plead that he grants it to us, and it is a peace that is with us in every situation of life, every phase of life, even when we are enduring trials, even the last trial, which is death. And that's why I wanted to read Psalm 23 today. And that verse 4, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and staff, they comfort me." And Christians know this by heart experience. It's real. It's wonderful. And even in sickness and in death, going through that valley, it is but a shadow because the Lord is with us. And how we pray for the sick, and even today, that the Lord would be reveal himself to them, manifest himself to them, giving them grace, his peace, the peace that he bought at the cross by his blood. And that peace is real. May you rest in that and just take time today to thank the Lord for that peace that is given to your soul, and you will know its blessing within your heart. I pray that these verses, these statements here in John 14, will become very real, very precious to you, because Jesus himself is real and precious to you.
This is a charming sound, harmonious to the ear, and with the echo shall resound, and all the earth shall hear. Saved by grace alone, this is all my plea. Jesus died for sinful men, and Jesus died for me. My name in God's eternal book, 'twas grace that gave me to the Lamb who all my sorrows took.
This caused my heart to break and made my eyes aglow. 'Tis grace that's kept me to
listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio broadcast of the Free Presbyterian Church in Canada. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher. If you missed part of today's program or would like to hear it again, you can find it archived by program date on our website. Just go to www.ltbs.ca, CA for Canada. There you can read my blog, find my Bible study notes, audio and video sermons, as well as helpful articles. Or you can go to our podcast on iTunes. We're on the air Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for our full church broadcast, and Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. on this station to bring you the gospel from our Free Presbyterian Church here in Cloverdale. We also invite you to our church services on Sundays, 10:30 and 6 p.m. Through our website, you can listen and view to our online services at 10:30 and 6 p.m. Make it your Sunday worship. Click on the Live Now button on the home page of our website. Or if you would like to talk with me one-on-one as a pastor, please give me a call. The phone number is 604-576-1091. The mailing address is 18790 58 Avenue, Surrey, BC, V3S 1M6. We're located just two blocks north of Number 10 Highway on 188 Street. Our website again is ltbs.ca. You can join us Monday to Friday, 5 a.m., 5 p.m., here on this station as we let the Bible speak.